Hello, welcome to Conversations. My name is Kayleen Welsh, and I am your host for this episode. My guest today is Rebecca Rattay. And Rebecca is someone that I've known in a couple of different contexts over the years, but I've always been a little more curious about her story and who she is. Very delightful, wonderful person, and so I'm looking forward to talking and hearing a little bit more of her story. So thanks for coming in today, Rebecca.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, awesome. Well, all right, so we can start with just the fact that you're a Viroqua resident and an acupuncturist. And so I'm just curious to hear a little bit more about where you came from and, I don't know, say hello.
Yeah, so I just realized, like, yesterday that I've been here for 6 years. I was counting it up. I was thinking five, but then I've been here for 6 years.
Has it gone by fast?
It's gone by really fast, partly because we came here the end of 2019.
Just before COVID.
6 months before everything shut down. Yeah.
So what an interesting time to come into a community.
Yeah. And I was so happy to be here. Like, so blessed to be here during that time and be out of the cities.
Okay. I was going to say, can you speak to that? What was it that you were glad about?
Because we came from the Twin Cities and there was a lot going on there during COVID. And I just felt like it was really nice to be here in a small community where you could go out and walk around and, you know, hunker down, and it didn't feel too, I mean, we're already isolated, so it didn't feel more isolated to me. It just felt like, oh my gosh, this is so great. We can just go to the co-op, we can go to Walmart, we get what we need.
Yeah.
And we don't have to go very far. And yeah, I don't know. I just felt like safer. I felt safer here.
Even just to get outside was nice. And people did, you know, we had a neighborhood walk kind of on Sunday evenings. Everybody came outside, kind of wandered around. So I can see where in some ways that would be, it would feel calm and safe and just easy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, welcome then.
Thanks.
So in the 6 years since, or do you want to talk about more? Where did you come from then? Where were you born and all of that kind of stuff?
Oh my gosh. Well, that's a lot of stuff.
Okay. All right.
So born in Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay. I don't know if I've known anybody from Nebraska.
Yeah. We moved to California.
Oh, okay. That's a shift.
Yeah. So we moved to Joshua Tree, California.
Okay.
When I was like six. And that was because my dad was going to raise jojoba beans.
I don't even know what they are. Oh.
Yeah. So you might. So it's J-O-J-O-B-A or something like that. It's in beauty products.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So he was going to go there and raise jojoba beans on 40 acres of my uncle's land. He was there. And so we moved there. And then they ended up, it didn't work out very good. They didn't grow well in that area where we were. We were a dry lake bed area. And then he opened a feed store and we had horses and, yeah, lived in the desert. Much different than here. Grew up there.
Much different than Nebraska.
Yeah. So grew up there, went to school there. And, went to Oregon for a while. Lived in Hawaii for a while. I lived in Nashville for a while. I lived in South Carolina.
Wow.
I'm trying to think where else I've lived.
Uh-huh.
Just moved around a bunch.
Uh-huh.
Like on my own, when I was older.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Trying out different places.
Yes. And also different opportunities. So one of the opportunities for going to Hawaii was to be in a band, singing with a band. People that I knew in California, they moved to Hawaii and asked if I would come there to sing with the band there because there was lots of opportunities.
That sounds like an adventure.
Yeah. I thought so.
Uh-huh.
So I left and I went there and I did that for like 6 months. And we would sing at, you know, the bases. It was military bases and things like that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So has singing been a part of most of those different moves? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So singing's been a big part of your history.
Yes. Yeah, so I think I started when I was, like, singing out in clubs at, like, 20. And then when I turned 21, I was able to actually do the club, real clubs. But, you know, it's like drinking and 4-hour with the band, 4 hours with the band, getting off work at 2 o'clock in the morning, going to get something to eat. I still worked at Walmart during that time. So then I would go home and sleep a few hours and then work my shift and then go home and exercise and work out and sleep and then get up and do it all again.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I think is really fascinating about people who perform like that is the fact that you have to put yourself up on the stage.
Yeah.
What a big fear. I mean, I don't know. I think it's just exposing yourself, putting yourself out there that way.
Yeah.
Your own creativity. It's really a big risk.
Yeah, I didn't really think about it then. I really didn't.
Is that because you just loved it? It just felt natural?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to sing with my dad in church when I was little. We'd do duets and stuff like that. I don't know. I just always loved it. Yeah. I don't know how we got on that subject, but that's how I ended up in Nashville. That's how I ended up in Hawaii. And then I came back and then I moved to Nashville and I was there for like 8 or 9 years. And did an album and made lots of friends and knew a lot of people. I worked for a music company for a while. And yeah, I saw a lot.
Well, sounds like there's some stories there.
Yeah. I saw a lot of stuff and I was like, wow, do I really want to be in this business? Do I really want this to be the rest of my life?
Mm-hmm.
What do I want? That's how I came. I'm getting to like how I came to acupuncture.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting to me because, yeah, I think in some ways it feels like, you know, people, you know, I don't know, I can't speak for you, but like I think of that idea of going to Nashville and trying to put together a career in that regard and the courage that that takes, the willingness to put yourself out there for that and the what happens if I don't kind of make it or, you know, what do I have to sacrifice to make this work?
I think it was more of what do I have to sacrifice to make this work? And I wasn't sure that I wanted to sacrifice, you know, stability, having a home, having a family. It came to the point where I was like, what do I want? And I spent a long time trying to figure that out. And I don't remember what the turning point was for that. I just think I was there and there was a lot of people really good at everything. I had a lot of friends in the business who still didn't own a home, still didn't have a car, you know, but they were on paper or to the public, they were making it, right?
What's the definition of success?
Yeah, and you know, traveling around a lot and not really a family and getting older, and I was just watching them thinking, oh, I don't really know if this is the life I want. And being up at night, you know, you're up until, you don't go out until 10. You don't even go out, and I'm talking about 10 at night, not 10.
Yeah, right, right. And I kind of remember those days, but I haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah, and so nobody's even out before that. And do I really want to have that life? I wasn't sure that I did. And so then I started thinking about what I would want to do.
I would imagine that part of that decision then, too, would require, you know, even I'm thinking about all the different places that you live, but to decide or to think about, okay, really, what kind of a life do I want and where do I want to have it?
Yeah, it was a lot. And so at the time, I was having really severe repetitive motion injury in my right hand and arm from playing guitar, and like almost couldn't even hold a pick or use my right hand at all. And I thought, well, I'm going to try acupuncture and see if that helps. I've always followed it. Like I was getting Natural Health magazine and I would read about natural health all the time. And my grandmother always took supplements and, you know, barley green and lecithin. And she was always treating everything with health, you know, what we would consider alternative medicine things. And so I thought, well, I'm going to try acupuncture. And so I did, and it helped. And the woman who did it was a woman from China, Dr. Shang. And she was just this beautiful person. And she took my pulse and she started saying like everything that I felt. She was like a, you know, person telling me all about my life by just taking my pulse. And I thought, what is going on here? Like, I had no idea that what I was getting myself into. She looked at my tongue. She took my pulse, didn't even really ask a ton of questions and started doing the acupuncture. Not even, some of the acupuncture wasn't even in the vicinity of my hand. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I kept saying, you know, it's my hand. Uh-huh. But she was putting it up, you know, in my shoulder and my elbow and in my legs. And I was like, I don't know. But then it worked.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that expanded things or opened your mind to consider that then. As if you found it helpful, then at what point did you decide, oh, I'm going to go study this?
Yeah. So it took a long time. I didn't even consider it. And then when I decided that I really, for like 2 months, I was struggling, like mentally, like really shutting down on what am I going to do? Because I had spent my whole 10 years thinking that music was going to be what I was going to do, mm-hmm. and what I was passionate about. And I still feel that passion and a little bit of sadness for giving it up. But I was just like, what am I going to do? And I went to this cabin out in the country of Maine, out in Maine, and just meditated and did yoga and thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I thought, oh, I would really like to be like this herbal woman where people come and, you know, get herbs for me. And then I thought, well, how am I going to make money doing that? And then I thought, well, what else could I do? And I thought, well, my acupuncturist gave me herbs and she works at a doctor's office. And, I wonder how you do that. That was the question. I wonder how you do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I started looking into it. Yeah.
Well, I love the question, I wonder, anyway. I mean, there's so many things that we can wonder about and that it really opens up possibilities and perspective. And I'm appreciating the fact that, you know, faced with this big decision, you know, it's like, okay, what am I doing with my life? You know, you took the space to go inward and really just, I want to just say, kind of tune in on a deeper level of what would work. And it sounds like in that process, even, you did a really great job of kind of mixing practical, okay, you know, I got to make some money, I got to be able to, you know, do things here, you know, and yet at the same time, it's got to be something that, you know, feels right for me. And so there's kind of this intuitive, the heart-thought mixture that comes together to help lead us, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, I think part of that was that I started feeling like music was very selfish. I felt like I wasn't doing anything to make the world a better place. I think that's what came up for me a lot. Like, I'm going to have to be this very driven, self-centered, this is the most important thing in the world to make it. And I felt like, how is that benefiting anybody but me? And so I started having these questions in my head about, am I wanting somehow to benefit someone other than myself, which was interesting because I never really had that before.
Well, and it's interesting to me too to think about that in a way because I just think how helpful music is.
Yeah, I know. And people have told me that. And I know that you love it. I know that you go see it. And I know that you love that because we follow each other on like Facebook. Uh-huh. And so I have a different thought process about that now than I did then. I think I had turned 30 and that's when it all started coming up.
Really settling into, I want to say, kind of a stage of maturation of like, oh my goodness, I'm doing adulthood. What am I doing here?
Yes. I think, I'm pretty sure that's what ended up, that's when it all started.
Well, it was, okay, so then acupuncture becomes the path.
Yeah, I was all in. Like, as soon as I started looking into it, I was like, that's it. That's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
And I had no college.
Okay.
No college.
Did you need some?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to have... you got to have at least 2 years for most of the schools. You have to have all your prerequisites for most of the schools. Some require 4.
Okay. And I never even really thought about acupuncture schools.
Yeah. Years it takes. So once you get your 2 years of prerequisites, you go to acupuncture school for 3 years and you get a master's degree.
Are there very many choices for acupuncture schools?
There used to be more. There's a bunch of them that are closing down.
What is that about, do you think?
I think people are realizing how much it costs to go and that they're not making their money back.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Yeah. It's about student loan stuff. Uh-huh. And it's about some of the schools being called on that. And, so I looked around. I flew to Wisconsin, or not Wisconsin, Washington, to look at Bastyr, which I think some of their schools have either closed down, maybe. And then I looked in, I think I went to Oregon and looked at that school, and I went to Santa Cruz and looked at the school there, California, and then I looked at the school in the Twin Cities, outside of the Twin Cities, Bloomington. And then my brother lived in the Twin Cities, and the school there seemed to have a lot of money, and most all of their professors were from China. And so I decided that I would do better hunkered down in the winter and in the winter weather and with my brother's family than I would in Santa Cruz, California at the beach.
Oh, boy, that's a tough decision, but I kind of feel like I make that every winter when I stick around here. And no. All right. So
anyway,
school there. School, welcome to the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened. It took me a while to get my 2 years of college, and I really loved it. You know, it's all the sciences. You have to do anatomy and physiology, physics, all the ologies.
Yeah. I hear nurses talking often about, you know, some of those courses and how hard they are.
I loved it. It was so good. Yeah. And then at one point I was like, what am I going to do? Maybe I want to go to medical school instead. And then I was like, no, it's just not my personality. The Chinese medicine really spoke to me. Yeah.
So what did it say?
It's, you know, more than just sticking needles in. You know, it's about fire, water, earth, metal, wood. It's, you know, it's a natural medicine, a way to get to do things that are in alignment with us being a part of nature, which we forget. You know, technically we are animals and part of nature.
Yeah. I think about that often. I mean, I think we've forgotten how much we do belong to a bigger system, and we forget and we feel very disconnected. And so I think it really is important to be able to realign with those natural elements and the bigger story of who we are.
Yeah, some people don't like to start talking about that in this field because we want to be taken seriously by the medical professionals. And ultimately we talk about that in the way that it regulates the nervous system and blood flow, creating blood flow is healing, you know. So if there's a lack of blood flow to an area, the tissue can't heal. So we talk more in those around those lines.
Uh-huh. It can't get oxygen.
Right. Okay. Oxygenated blood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We need to be able to breathe well and move that blood through our system to really keep it all functioning well.
Right.
All right. Well, and so what are you finding with the medical field? I mean, it just seems like when I think about Chinese medicine, I think of it as allowing the and, both kind of this, I don't know, what do I want to say, energy system or understanding of things unseen, as well as the scientific medical community that's very factual.
Yeah. So there's a fine line there that you have to walk for sure.
To find the and.
Yeah, I mean, so I do read a lot about. So one of the reasons why I love this, what I do, is because it is never ending. You can never learn everything. You can never know all of it. There's endless books, endless ways people treat, point combinations, theories. Yeah, all of those things. It's 5,000 years worth of information. I'll never know it all.
No. And yet it just feels like there's a lot of value in a ancient system that we can draw from to keep growing and changing and learning. And so there is always more.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, all right. Well, I guess it's time for a little bit of a break. So okay. Let's take a little break and just say hello, listeners. You know, thanks for tuning in. We're grateful that you're here listening as I and Rebecca have a conversation about acupuncture and change and moving and some of the fear that comes up along with that. We'll talk about that as we come back again. So, but you're listening to WDRT on Vernon County. It's community radio. We're glad you're here. If you miss the show on the radio, you can always find things in the archives or stream from WDRT.org. Thanks for listening. All right, we're back. Rebecca, let's talk a little bit more about acupuncture because it's really something I don't know a lot about. And I appreciate your information. It's just giving me a little bit more. What is it for? What? Tell me about acupuncture.
Yeah. So what we do, I'll give you an example of what happens.
Okay,
if
perfect.
You decide I'm going to get acupuncture, and what are you going to get acupuncture for? So I see people for emotional things like depression, anxiety, to help regulate the nervous system, I'm always trying to get people out of fight or flight syndrome, right? Trying to get their nervous system to go to parasympathetic, which is the relaxation phase instead of the I'm running away from a tiger phase.
We have a terrible time with that, don't we?
It
yes. just seems like as a culture, we're definitely always amped up, ready to respond.
Pretty much all the time, unless you're consciously working on, which is, there's another word, working on, right? Unless you're conscious of that in yourself and doing things to relax your body in some way. Some people use alcohol and they don't even realize that's why they're using it, right? Some people smoke pot, some people have ways to do it, which they may not even consciously know that they're trying to do that. Other people are working out every day. Some people run. Some people are runners. They have to run every day. Yoga, swimming, all of these things that we choose to do are trying to get our stress level down.
I think of even busyness in that category. Just
yes.
like I just see, I don't know, looking around family in the holidays, there's just certain people that are just busy all
yes.
the time.
Busyness is, we're not allowed to relax and sit down and just do nothing and read a book. We should. I've gotten better at it too. fall right into that trap of trying to be, productive, whatever that means for me, whatever that means for someone else, right? So there's that. And then I have a lot of people that come to me for pain issues. I have fertility. People come to me for fertility. And trying to think of some other things.
So do you have a practice here in Viroqua?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My business is Driftless Healing Arts, and I'm right by the Driftless Cafe, which I did not name it that because just like that's what we came up with. Driftless Healing Arts. So it's in the Fortney building.
Mm-hmm.
All the little businesses below. We used to be where their motel check-in is. Their hotel, not motel. Hotel check-in. And then we moved down to the end space. And I also have Shauna Maley there who does massage.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm also at Scenic Bluffs. So that's
uh-huh.
a whole different thing, right?
Uh-huh.
So Scenic Bluffs is a community health center. They have chiropractic. They hired me there as an acupuncturist. And, they have dental and regular medical doctors and therapy and...
Do you find places like that that are adding acupuncture to their regular offerings for medical care?
Yes, it's definitely more likely that that's happening now than even like 10 years ago. Although my friend was hired right out of school, she was hired at a hospital, and she's been there ever since. So it's been, almost 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
She's been there this whole time, and they have acupuncturists on staff. that's in the Twin Cities. So there's a lot of Mayo Clinic, I think, has them. Yeah. I think they're finding that there's a lot of times where they don't know what to do anymore. They've given people the medication. It's not helping, or it's sort of helping, but it's not helping all the way. And so then they're kind of like, well, I don't know what to do. And they send them my way. Mm-hmm. I'm usually the last person that people will come to. They've been through a lot. They've been through surgeries. They've been to massage therapy. They've been to chiropractic. They've done so many things. And then they end up coming to see if acupuncture will help. And one of the really great things is if we can get the pain level down, people can get off of the opioid medications, or at least take less that are really addictive. Mm-hmm. And if we can get the pain levels down, then maybe they can do the rest with something not as strong, you know? So people, I'm trying to think what else people come to me for. They come plantar fasciitis, digestion issues that they can't.
Crohn's disease, yeah, things like that.
All those kinds of things. Most of the time when people see me, they have lots going on. And we always do a health history. So I give people paperwork. They fill out health history. We talk for, it depends on what's going on with the person. Sometimes we talk for 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. Sometimes we talk for a half an hour. Sometimes we talk for 45 minutes. It depends on how much health history they have. And I don't always find out everything the first time I see them.
Sure.
And, you know, acupuncture works a lot like, people are very familiar, much more familiar with chiropractic. So I'd like to say it's kind of the same. You have to come in more often at the beginning. So, you know, depending on what's going on, you might want to come in once a week for a few weeks. You might want to come in twice a week for a few weeks. It depends on how much it's affecting your life. And so we want to do that more at the beginning because we want your body to adjust. So what we're doing is we're putting it in the needles and we're trying to help your body to heal itself, to adjust what's going on, adjust how things are moving, adjust your nervous system. So that's a big one. Mm-hmm. It's very hard for the body to go into healing process if your nervous system is on fire all the time. You know,
I think that's so important. Just, you know, I guess from my own work, I just feel like anxiety is the pandemic of the time. I mean, there's just so much going on with people as far as anxiety and just amped up and just, you know, there's almost like an underlying fear constantly that we're coping with. So I guess I'm glad to hear that this is a avenue. I mean, it's so important that we figure out how to calm our nervous system.
Yeah. And it helps the healing to begin.
It sounds like in some ways you're saying, I don't know if it's crucial, but it's a very important piece of allowing healing. We have to calm the nervous system first.
Always. And whenever someone comes in with pain, pretty much everyone that comes to me, they're going to get emotion points. You always put emotion points in with pain, always, because it affects the person's being. Mm-hmm. When they're in pain all the time. They can't relax. They're irritable. They can get depressed because they can't function properly. So we always put, I always do, most people, most acupuncturists, I say, always will put emotion points in to calm the nervous system a little bit. Yeah.
All right. So tell me more about, I'm a new patient and I've come in. So I talk to you, I tell you a little bit about my history and what's going on and what happens next.
And then we talk about how many times that you might need to, how it looks for you to come in, your treatment, kind of your treatment plan, what my thought process is, like how often you might have to come in for this, whatever it is.
So you can kind of get a preview of that, right, you know, fairly quickly.
Some people are way better at it than I am, or they just have a plan that they give to everybody. I'm not really sure. I like to see someone once and then have them come in pretty quickly for the second one, so we can see how, because everybody's different. Some people come back and they're like, oh my gosh, that was, you know, I do see people for insomnia, things like that. I slept all week, it was so great. Some people come in, I felt better, but I'm still, it's just different because you don't know what's really going on. I don't get the full story of and you can't know what's going on in people's lives every single day, all day long. Mm-hmm. There's so many variables. Kids, partners, their work, how they eat, how they move, what they're drinking, what supplements are they taking. All of those things matter, but I don't get that full picture very often right away. And when people are very honest with that stuff right away, I'm like, wow, thank you. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it comes out, and sometimes it comes out when they're on the table, or you're just finishing up taking the needles out, and all of a sudden they tell you these things that are like so important, mm-hmm. I think are so mm-hmm. important, mm-hmm. but they kind of have just don't, you know, it's part of their life. They don't really think about it that much. But all those things are important. So I ask people about their menstrual cycle, I ask people about their bowel movements, I ask people what their life is like, what their work is like, if they have kids, if they're married. You know, it sounds like I'm just being chatty. It's not really chatty. It is chatty, but I'm really trying to figure out what's going on.
So it sounds like in some ways it's both information gathering and relationship building.
Yes. Yeah. Because there has to be a little bit of trust to let someone put needles in you, right?
Or to tell someone even the truth of what I'm dealing with sometimes. I need to trust.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so.
And then I will decide if we're going to do a front treatment or back treatment. Depends on what's going on. Sometimes when people have a really heightened, their system is just really on high alert, even if it's pain in the lower back, some people will never treat in the area that it actually hurts. Sometimes we treat distally, which is hands and lower leg, like up, lower arms, lower legs, face up, not even in the back, and they'll get relief with the points that we do, because we do have points that we can use and not even go into the area because everything's connected.
Is there like tons of points?
There is. hundreds.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, channels. There's liver, spleen, kidney, stomach, gallbladder, urinary bladder. And then there's like extra channels, like the Ren channel, the Dew channel. And then there's all these extraordinary vessels that we call the belt line.
I love the word extraordinary vessels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's all these points, and there's all these combinations that you can use, and you come up with a Chinese medicine diagnosis. Now, I want to say also that we really call it Oriental medicine. Traditional Oriental medicine is what I got my master's degree in, but people study in different ways. So there's Korean hand therapy, there's Japanese style, there's Chinese style, like there's all these different styles. There's someone in France that kind of developed their own style. And so people will study under these different styles, and you can use a combination of them, or some people are very specifically love that style. Like, they just decide that that's what's best for them. Mm-hmm. Some people only treat distally. They never treat on the trunk of the body. I just decide like what I think your diagnosis is. It could be like these weird things that we call liver cheese stagnation with kidney yin deficiency, or, you know, so there's yin and yang, which we've heard, mm-hmm. which is fire and water.
Masculine and feminine?
Yes, all of that. And how that, and I'm always thinking in those terms, and I may not say it. So sometimes when you tell people those things, they get very stuck on, oh my gosh, well, what's wrong with my kidneys?
Mm-hmm.
And so then you have to say, well, there's nothing specifically wrong with your kidneys. That's just how we think of it in the medicine that I work in, right? So sometimes it's like the Chinese practitioners won't even tell people what they've come up with diagnosis. They tell them nothing.
Sure.
They tell them nothing. They're like, get on the table and we're going to do this, you know, because they don't want people to get stuck.
Well, and it's interesting to me too, because my brain goes to, isn't it like kidney? Is it kidney that stores fear? You know, liver, mm-hmm. anger. You know,
yes.
You think about some of the emotional connection with these organs, and yeah, it's just interesting to think about, I guess.
Yeah, like so, metal is lung, and it's also sorrow,
mm-hmm.
and
grief,
sorrow and grief. Yep, and spleen is the center of the universe, which is earth. It's transformation and transportation of food and water, and we consider that center of the universe.
Do we even know much about our spleens? I mean, as far as like an average person?
So yeah, like, so I say that and people are like, well, what does that mean?
I know.
And like, I was like,
my spleen, I don't even know for sure. What does my spleen do? I don't know.
So for us, that's like our stomach and our small intestine, right?
Okay, all right.
But in Chinese medicine, we talk about the spleen being the transformation and transportation of food and water. And then there's the triple burner. Like, we don't even have that in Western thought process.
I think it's Qigong that I heard of the triple burner somewhere along the line, but I don't know what that is. What is the triple burner?
So it's the three parts of the digestion system. And so it's like, if you think of it in your head, it's the fire underneath, the cooking pot, and the steam.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how those work through your stomach and your lungs. And
I think it's crazy to me how we take our body for granted. I mean, we just, we don't, there's so much about it that it does that I don't know. And I think that it does so much more than I've even imagined as far as a system that works together.
Yeah, that's true. And making whole humans.
Whole humans. Oh, boy. All right. Yeah. So, okay. Well, okay. Yeah. So now I'm, you know, you've done this assessment and you've decided to, like, work on me face up or something.
Or face down, yeah. So yeah, this is how I do it. Everybody does things, everybody does it different. I have rooms, two rooms, and I have a warm massage table. And you come in and I have, you know, cozy sheets. Not everybody does this. This is what I do. And a pillow.
And it seemed like that would just be welcoming and nurturing and you don't want to get, you know, cold.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you don't want to be cold when you have acupuncture. That's happened to me, and it's horrible. So I leave, and I let you get, you know, all comfy, and I usually have you take your shoes and socks off. And sometimes, depending on what points I'm doing, if you wear loose pants, which a lot of people will now do because they know, you can just pull them up to the knee. But sometimes I need points on the upper legs. Sometimes I do, and so you'll either undress or not, depending on what your comfort level is and where we need to put the points. Mm-hmm. And I let you get situated. I decide what I'm going to do, and then I come in, and I still swab points with alcohol. And, you know, some people, it's not required anymore, but I still do that. And, yeah, I have needles that I've put in. And I know that sounds scary, but it's not. They're very small. There's all different sizes. Some people use bigger needles, some people use smaller needles. I have a lot of different sizes depending on what part of the body I'm putting the needles.
I suppose there's different parts of the body that are more sensitive, or?
Yes. So I have little ones for the hands because the hands are very sensitive. So pretty much upper body, I'll use the smaller ones, and lower body, I use kind of the bigger ones. But when I say that, I'm still using much smaller than most people. So they have sizes like 0.18 millimeters, 0.15 millimeters, and then a length. So we call it 15, 30. You know, they can go, they can get very long if you're going to put them in the rear.
So yeah. Like, how long are they?
yeah. So the ones that I have with me, I brought some.
Okay.
Some short ones. I use pretty short ones most of the time because a lot of times I don't feel like I have to put them very deep to make things happen.
Okay.
And so every part of the body has a different depth that you can go. So like if you're going on the feet, the depth is much different than if you're going on the thigh or the lower back or even the butt, right? The glutes. So these are different styles. I have these packages of 10 that come like this.
Okay.
I open up the package, and I have like a little holder that keeps them clean. And then there's also a tube that I use. Not everybody uses a tube, but I will use a tube like this, and you'll feel the tube on your skin. And I put the needle in the tube, and then I tap it in.
Uh-huh.
And some people are very sensitive. And so I will push with the tube, which helps for some reason, the surprise factor or whatever. And some people don't feel them at all. Yeah. And depending on how emotional someone is that day, too, can make a really big difference on if they feel the needles or not.
I would imagine tension would make a difference as far as whether you feel the needles or not.
Yeah.
So the more you can relax again, the more that you're going to be able to probably, you would be able to insert them in a person and the person would feel them less.
Yeah. And I would say for the most part, once I start, I can have someone that's super chatty, talking. And once I start, once that I'm done with the legs and I'm already headed up to the top, they're almost always quiet. They get very quiet.
And what do you think that is?
I think it's the body starting to relax and the stomach will start to rumble. Digestion, that's parasympathetic, right? Now all of a sudden the body's like, oh, I can digest now because I'm okay. And so people will be like, well, I ate this morning, but I'm like, yeah, no, this is good. This is a parasympathetic thing happening. This is your body relaxing and thinking that it can now digest, right? There's also the whole thought of digesting your emotions too, which I'm sure you're familiar with. So, yeah, and so I do points on the head sometimes. I'm reading this really great book, well, a couple books, and I like to read a lot outside of Chinese medicine too, outside of acupuncture, about, you probably know this guy, Daniel Amen. I think it's Amen, or I think that's how you say his last name. And he does brain scans, psychiatrist, about, you know, how people's brains are lit up in different areas and what that, how that comes out for them. And so there's a whole neurological, you know, some people do a lot of neurology acupuncture. They do a lot of points on the head, especially for stroke victims.
Well, that has me thinking, too, about, you know, just this whole idea of change. I mean, it sounds like this is a field even that is continually, and all of our lives in many ways continually grow. They keep changing. It sounds like there's more to learn, more that we're understanding. And certainly when I think about even my own work, but our awareness of the neuroplasticity and how the body can change is really fascinating to me. So, all right, well, let's take a little break again, and then we'll come back and talk about that a little bit more. So, listeners, really glad you're here today. My name is Kayleen Welsh. I'm your host for this week's conversation, and I'm speaking with Rebecca Rote, and we're talking about acupuncture. How that is, I mean, and associated with that, just some general ideas about acupuncture, but also some of the fear that arises as we try new things and what it's like to change and how we learn and grow and keep doing things a little bit differently. So thanks for being here, Rebecca, and thanks for listeners for tuning in. This is WDRT Community Radio. You can find us live on, well, I guess you can find us on 91.9 FM. You can also stream us from WDRT.org. And if you like this program, you want to listen again or tell a friend about it, you can always find shows in the archives afterwards at WDRT.org. Thanks for being here. Welcome back to Conversations. My name is Kayleen Welsh, and I'm here with Rebecca Rote, and we're going to continue our conversation about acupuncture, change, fear, some of the things that we're addressing today. So thanks for tuning in. Rebecca, you were just talking about how much, you know, you read, and it sounds like you read a lot of things outside of Chinese medicine, Oriental medicine, but just even expanding different ideas on how some of this information about channels and pathways and how to work with that in lots of different ways. So I guess I'm just curious about the expanding ways that acupuncture is being expanded. We were talking during break a little bit about how it's being used in the VA. I know a lot of places are adapting more alternative methods. So are you seeing that much with your practice or with this field?
I'd say that people are more open to it. I would say that doctors are more open to it. I don't know if it's all doctors or it just seems like they are. It just seems like more open. Like they'll be like, they asked their doctor if they could come to acupuncture and the doctor said, sure, why not? Give it a shot.
Almost like if you don't know what else to do, okay.
Yeah, that's what I hear a lot. And then, you know, being at Scenic Bluffs, a lot of the people that I get there are from the doctors sending them. They refer them to me.
Well, and it seems like people are looking for more alternatives.
I think they are. I think they're tired of taking all the medications. You know, once they get in the system and they're taking a lot of medication, I have people sitting in front of me being like, I really want to get off my medication. Like, this is too much. I can't do this. And sometimes their insurance won't pay for it anymore. Mm-hmm. So like maybe their insurance was paying for it and now it's not. I have to go back to the stress thing. Like, it's such a big thing. You know, people are really stressed out. They just are. And they're having, you know, trying to keep up with the lifestyle that they think they should have. They're worried about how they're going to pay for things. You know, I don't know. There's a lot of stress about what you think you should be doing. Yeah. Shooting yourself all the time,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Shouldn't all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and I what I love about the way you've talked about your work so far is, I mean, it just feels very nurturing, very caring, very warm. I mean, that can be helpful to help people relax just feels so important to me.
Yeah, and I think it helps when people feel heard. You know, a lot of people come in and they tell me a lot. And maybe not the first time, but eventually. And I think they don't have people really hearing them. You know, the doctors are trying, and they do try to, you know, the ones I know are so good. They try to listen to their patients, but a lot of them are on time. They're supposed to be like out of there in 15 minutes. Sometimes they're supposed to be out of there in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And they're not able to fully hear and take it all in. And some of them are, but I think the one thing I have on, you know, I'm also on time trying to get people in and out. So to respect their time and my time, I'm trying to get people in and out within an hour. But I'm also listening and chatting and caring about their life. And that's important, I think.
It sounds like in many ways what you offer people is a place to reconnect. I mean, it's just kind of a place to be heard, to kind of get some care, to be anchored, to help calm down, to help soothe in some ways. And so, I mean, that's just a really wonderful thing. And it's kind of crazy that we have this world that's so fear-driven, that's so anxiety-producing, and yet this is where we are. So I guess I'm thinking, you know, even as you have shared your story a little bit, that idea, even when you were younger, of moving around so much, all the different times that you had to kind of face change and try something maybe outside the box. And I think that's what acupuncture is, maybe for many people. It's weird that it's kind of like, you know, comes in as, here, you might as well try this if nothing else has worked.
Yeah.
And maybe someday we kind of shift some of that around. But at the same time, it's like, how do we help people be open to trying something new? I think it's just so easy to be in a comfort zone, or we just do things the way we've always done them. So your story of moving around different times, your story of like even making that decision to shift from singing into acupuncture, it just seems like it reflects for me a willingness to, okay, I really want to look at my life. I want to make some choices about where I'm going. And so I'm going to walk through. I'm going to adapt to change somehow. Mm. I've figured out how to adapt to change. And I'm going to walk through some of the fears I have around making change.
Yeah.
So
that's a lot that
said. Where do we go with that?
I mean, I am reading this book right now. I have not finished. It's called Imperfect Courage. I'm always interested in that subject.
Yeah.
Because I'm scared to death all the time.
Well, and that's such a great title, because I think it's Carolyn Mace was a spiritual teacher that talked all the time about, you know, like, if we're going to get out of our comfort zone, I mean, if we're ever going to change, and I mean, don't we know that about the world? That's the one thing that's constant is change.
Yeah.
And yet if we're, and so it's weird to me that we've gotten it so associated with fear.
Yeah.
In fact, couldn't it be more like associated with excitement or eagerness?
And growth.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
a chosen expansion. I want to know more. I want to learn more. I want to do something different. Yeah. So how do we make that shift and even start to, I want to say, reframe fear?
Sure. Well, I think courage, you know, when you look at it, when you read about courage, it's always like you're scared, but you do it anyway. That is courage. It's not like the courage comes first.
Yeah.
You got to be like, oh my gosh, my life is not, this isn't working. What am I going to do? And then you got to like make some decisions and just jump.
I think that is true. Carolyn Mace always said, what she said is that anytime we try to make a change, fear is going to step up to stop us.
Yeah.
That we've got a system that's almost designed to just like go with status quo. Mm-hmm. And to break free of that is really a challenge. It takes a little extra oomph. I mean, it takes some courage. It takes a willingness.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, you know, in regards to acupuncture, the body gets stuck in a mode, and the body's like that. It gets stuck in a mode, and it's like, I'm fine right here. I'm fine right here. I'm just going to stay like this. Mm-hmm. But that mode isn't always beneficial, a beneficial mode. So what it does is it starts to get things moving. It starts to change things. And I think that's part of it too is, you know, it is scary. Change is scary because it's unknown, right? And some people are great with that. Some people don't care. They're like, woohoo, yeah, let's go for it. And so it's just like this example of some people will go down skiing down the hill and they're like screaming and yelling like, yahoo! And other people are like, oh my God, I'm going to die. But it's like the same feeling, but people interpret that feeling differently, right?
Yes. I've heard it expressed basically, you know, that excitement and fear are the same thing. It's just that with excitement, we're still breathing. With fear, we constrict. We tighten it all down, and we just like are clinching it all in.
I like that.
But with like excitement, we can just go, woo, wee, here we go.
Yeah.
So keep breathing, you know. I think one of the challenges for people right now is figuring out how to embrace change, because I mean, change is rampant. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talked about moving to Viroqua just before COVID hit. Well, pretty much since then, we've been on a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
And so, there's just a lot of spaces where it seems necessary to how do we slow down and, you know, catch our breath. And
yeah. And I think that for me, anyway, I'm always checking myself, like, what is the most important thing? What is the most important thing? And I think for me, it's being a decent person, you know, and like, what does that mean? So maybe that means different things for everybody.
It seems like a piece of personal integrity that is very important.
Yeah. For me, that is important. And so like, how am I walking through the world? How am I treating people? What am I providing that's more than myself? Like, am I taking care of my child? So sometimes we're, you know, I don't know. I think that a lot. And am I taking care of business? Like, I call it taking care. Am I taking care of business? And what does that mean? That means, like, stepping up to the plate and paying my bills and, like, taking care of other people. And how do I take care of myself? How do I put my oxygen mask on so that I can do those things? I don't know. It's always a check-in. I'm always checking in.
That's good. It feels like that's an important place to kind of recheck the alignment. Am I going in the right direction? And I was thinking about when you were talking earlier about making the decision to leave music. I thought about, is it Lao Tse that used to say something along the line that, like, if you don't change direction, you're going to end up where you're headed.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could see kind of where things were going for your life at that point. And it's a sacrifice. I mean, you have to make a decision about really where am I going and what am I most about, I guess, feels like that's what it came down to.
Yeah, and it was always my intention that I could do this during the day and I could do music in the evenings or on the weekends. And then life happened, you know, and I had a child. And then I was like, oof, yeah, this is a whole different thing. So that changes directions, that changes things. It's not like I don't ever want to do that again. Mm-hmm. Like, that was always my intention to do both.
Mm-hmm.
They're both spiritual practices to me.
Yeah. Sounds like music still has a strong place in your heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Change isn't easy. Yeah.
No. Yeah, I think it was Elizabeth Gilbert, you know, Eat, Pray, Love lady.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she said something along the line is, we just got to learn to make it our friend. We've got to learn to be friends with fear. And so how do we do that? I mean, I think in some, you know, embracing change, being willing to be open to new ideas, it's just so easy to get stuck. And you talked about, you know, the body getting stuck. And yeah. I think physically, mentally, emotionally, we get stuck. The body's the carrier of it all. The body's the one that shows it all, carries it all. But we are, you know, we can easily get stuck. And I think that's what is hard for people. You know, is to the idea of, boy, I do have to make some changes, or change comes at me, because we don't always have choices about it. You know, with your career decision, you had room to make a choice and to weigh your pieces, and sometimes change comes at us and we don't really have a choice. We have to figure out how to adapt.
Yeah. And sometimes you have to go inward. So, you know, that's the kidney part that we talked about. That's the being grounded. That's the going inwards. And winter's the perfect time for that.
Yeah.
That's the kidney energy, going inwards and hibernating a little bit, checking in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems really important, too, as a time when, you know, here we are early January and everybody's talking about New Year's resolutions and all of that. And mm-hmm. I think we're off base a little bit. I mean, this is the time to plant the seeds, but it isn't, yeah. you know, really the time to really see it come into a full emergence. We'll see that in the spring.
Yeah, we talk about that for spring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's part of aligning, right? I mean, that's, we have to align with the rhythm of our natural system.
Yeah. And we are part of that, even though we try to ignore.
Right.
I mean, some people are better at it, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think these are all things that we're remembering. I think, you know, I don't know, I grew up in an era where it was like you kind of forget about your body and you focus on this thing out here somewhere that you're supposed to be striving to become, or better person or holy person or something, I don't know. But,
yeah.
you know, somehow I think it does come back to here. And that's the piece where we have to do the work. So, all right, well, I think we're running low on time. So let's just check in a minute for, yeah, you know, how would people contact you if they wanted to know more?
Yeah, so I have a lot of information on my website, which is driftlesshealingarts.com. Super easy, driftlesshealingarts.com.
Very good, okay.
Yeah.
All right, and any closing thoughts that you have?
I am open to conversations. You know, people are scared, going slowly, all that stuff. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think it sounds like you offer a very nurturing environment for people to come in, and are you're open to sharing, helping people understand what this is all about, and you know, how to receive your modality the best.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that people are out there exploring and trying different things. And I guess we'll just wrap up with, there is a quote that I always like. I mean, I always like to find these quotes, but this is a quote about change from Octavia Butler. She says, "All that you touch, you change. All that you change, changes you. And the only lasting truth is change." So I guess we keep moving, you know, we keep trying new things, we keep opening our minds to new ideas, we keep exploring how do we utilize what we know in a better way, and here we are. Onward we go.
Thanks, Kayleen.
Thanks for being here, Rebecca.
Thank you so
nice
much.
Nice to talk.